You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Wednesday to you. We appreciate you being here. Razorback basketball season opens tonight with a game against Lipscomb over at Bud Walton Arena. It'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off. It'll be on SEC Network Plus, and we kick off the show today with Dusty Hannes, the former Razorback guard. He will be on the call tonight with Brett Dolan on SEC Network Plus. Dusty, we appreciate you being here.
I appreciate you having me.
Hey, so just you and I were talking a minute ago about the fact that you've done one of these games before, but it was during the COVID season. You weren't on the floor. It was offside. It was a little bit different kind of a feeling. I mean, just being on the floor tonight, being the first game of the John Calipari era, I just wonder what your thoughts are going into this game against Lipscomb.
Oh, just excited, you know. First off, anytime I can be in Bud Walton, you know, as I'm still playing, waiting on a contract, and being able to get in, and I was actually, after I had got out of Israel during the war, I had gotten to see some games during that period of time, and then, you know, now I'm still here again, so just to be able to go to Bud Walton and see games, you know, I don't take it for granted. So just from that regard, going to see the game and be on the court is going to be sweet. And then as far as being there for the start of the Calipari era, that's huge, you know. I didn't even think about it that way until you explained it that way, that I'm doing the first game of the Calipari era. So that's a memory in itself. So I'm just really excited. And, yeah, can't wait.
As a former player, when you heard John Calipari had taken the job at Arkansas, what were your thoughts?
I just kind of laughed, like, oh, my God. We're really about to be the center of college basketball. Like, you know, it's just – it gives you a sense of pride, you know, a guy like him, you know, trying to remember the days when I was a kid where, you know, we had our struggles. And then when Bobby came here and then – I thought my teams and Daryl, Jalen, like we kind of helped build it back up, and then Mus took it up another few steps, and then now here we are, you know. So it makes you proud.
You played against some of Calipari's teams at Kentucky. What do you remember about playing against them?
Getting my ass kicked. but no, I mean we played that team as my senior year. When we played them in the SEC championship, you know, that was when they had Deer and Fox, Monk, Briscoe, Bam Adebayo. I mean, they were just, so just knowing that they always had huge talent, you know, Tyler Ulis, Jamal Murray, that, the year before that, they always just had such good talent and played well together. And, you know, just has always been a team that's just loaded with talent and plays the right way with the dribble drive offense.
Arkansas, obviously they beat Kansas. They lost to TCU in the preseason. How much were you able to watch of the Kansas game, and just what have been your thoughts about this team based on what you've seen so far?
Well, I didn't get to see the TCU game, but I was at the Kansas game, but
okay.
just to see the size and versatility we have is what I like to see. You know, we've got the length, we've got the guards, and you know that there's the perfect mix of youth and seniors. So I'm just excited to, just like y'all are, just to watch it unfold. And I really like watching our guard play, and I think that's what wins you games in the tournament.
What exactly did you like about the guards? Because, you know, Bill Self said after the game, he said that we may not see another backcourt like that this year.
Yeah. I mean, just – I hate to use the same word a bunch, but the versatility. Like, they just – I thought I've seen them in person, but I thought, like, Wagner looked bigger on the floor than I thought he was. Mm-hmm. And – John L. also has size, so you know you're able to run out Boogie, John L. and Wagner at the same time and not be like thinking you're playing small ball. Like John L. I think can guard college threes, and Wagner as well, and they can guard if they have a size advantage on the small forward. I think they can handle it. I think all their skill sets are very professional, and it's going to be a handful for teams to guard all three of them.
You know, you're from Arkansas, so as you talk to your family members, your friends, and then obviously your former teammates, what's the level of excitement that you perceive about Calipari being here?
Oh, I think everyone just knows that we were lucky. You know, I think you have to give Coach Muss a lot of credit for getting the program to a spot where a Calipari, you know, eyed it and thought that it was a great opportunity, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think everyone realizes that we have a coach that's already in the Hall of Fame, and he's going to get the best players in the country to come here. He's getting the best transfers now. So, you know, just for Hog fans back home in Little Rock, all over the state, it's just, you feel the excitement.
You, as we talk, I know that you're about to go speak with some Lipscomb coaches and players about the game tonight, but what do you know about Lipscomb? I mean, what can you tell us about what Arkansas is going to see tonight?
I mean, just from watching their game last year, and I'm kind of a last minute guy, so I haven't got to look over the notes yet. I got, like, I guess, you know, 5-6 hours I need to really get on it.
Yeah. But
I looked at the box score from their last game, and they had a kid that had 30 on 10 for 18 from the field. So he must be a bucket. And what I liked about him is he had 6 turnovers and 0 assists. So I think he knows who he is. He's trying to score the ball. But they run the Princeton offense. Mm-hmm. They've had a coach that's been there for a while, and they're historically have won games. They're picked to win the ASUN. And they're a good shooting team that's well-disciplined, which, as we know, in a basketball game, if that kind of team catches fire, you know, you have a tough one on your hands.
So John Calipari talked about the offense that they run, all the backdoor cuts. You mentioned at the Princeton style. Did you ever face an offense like that? And even if you didn't, what makes that difficult to defend?
Well, especially when you have shooters all over the floor, you know, your main defensive strategy is always going to be to press up and deny catches. And then that obviously opens up backdoor cuts. So if you have guys with good instincts like they have that are good at backdoor cuts and good at making the pass at the right time, you know, it can become problematic. So, mm-hmm. you know, the Razorbacks just have to focus on being very, like, engaged defensively, communicating, and that's the best way to stop a team. I mean, our length will disrupt them in athleticism, but if you let too many dribble drives happen and too many back doors and they start spraying out to three-point shooters and get confidence, that's when, you know, you got a maybe close game on your hands.
Yeah, I do want to ask you about something, and you mentioned this off the top. You said you're waiting on a contract. You were in Israel on October 7th, 2023. How has your career changed since that point?
I just had come home for quite a while. I was under contract with a team, Nessiona, and, mm-hmm. you know, it was just a wild moment for me. And so I was home about 4 or 5 months, and I wasn't comfortable going back. The team wanted me to come back, and mm-hmm. I just wasn't comfortable. And then I went and played with Team USA in the AmeriCup games, and we played in Orlando, and then we played in Havana, Cuba, and I had a really good first game. Another team that's one of the big teams in Tel Aviv offered me a contract I couldn't refuse, honestly. Like, it was my best contract to date, and I accepted it, and I went and finished the season with them last year, and I was supposed to be back with that team this season as well. And I was cut, and now I'm looking for a new job. So I've got some bites overseas. I haven't gotten an offer that I really like yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be patient, and, you know, in this next few weeks will be very telling for me.
What's international basketball like?
Oh, just very competitive, but they play the right way. Fanfare is better than you'd think. Like, the team I finished the season with in Tel Aviv, you know, it was incredible. the the fans, like in each game, just the energy in the stadium. So yeah, just it's a fun style of play. I'm more of an NBA style player, but Europe is a fun style too.
Well, Dusty, hey, we appreciate your time and good luck with your career moving forward. And we look forward to listening to you on the call tonight.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Dusty Hannes, former Razorback, will be on the call with Brett Dolan tonight on SEC Network Plus. When we come back, Christina Long will join me in studio and we'll talk more about Razorback basketball. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. We appreciate you being with us. I want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Christina Long is with me now. Arkansas starting the season tonight against Lipscomb over at Bud Walton Arena. And when you get beat like the football team got beat the other day, this feels like a nice welcome distraction for people.
Yeah, I mean, we've reached that time, you know. It's always the joke every year with schools across the country is wait till basketball season, you know,
yeah,
and then with Arkansas becomes
start?
Wait till baseball season.
When does
you know?
Baseball start?
So we're hitting that point, but no, I mean, I think people would be super excited even if the football team was winning. I mean, this is just probably the most anticipated. I mean, have you seen? You've obviously been covering this team a lot longer than I have. Maybe. have you seen this much excitement for a basketball season?
Since I've been covering them. It reminds me of when I was a kid and, you know, Nolan Richardson's teams were doing so well. I mean, it was like, and also during that time, basketball season didn't start until late November. They've started, you know, they've moved up the start of basketball season by probably 3, maybe 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. It always seemed to me like when I was younger, basketball season started the week of Thanksgiving. And now by the time you get to Thanksgiving, that's the week you've got, you know, Maui and Bahamas.
There's
and
big games to watch.
Right. And so, but it was like, you know, and we've mentioned this game before. Catlin Perry, when he was at UMass, they beat Arkansas 104-80 in the first game of the 1994-95 season. Arkansas was number one. UMass was number three. And it was the tip-off classic in Springfield, Massachusetts. And that was the first game of the year. And I think that game was played on like November 25th, 23rd, somewhere in there. And so the start of basketball has, you know, there really used to not be much overlap between football and basketball. And now there is, you know, now there's 4 weeks. You know, in some case, for some of these teams, it's going to be 9-10 weeks of overlap, the teams that, you know, make it to bowl games, playoffs, whatever the case might be. But to answer your question, no, not since Nolan's teams can I remember there being this much excitement for Arkansas basketball. There was always like some anticipation, I think, about Musselman's teams. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd be ranked 14th, 16th, something like that, and this year's team 16th. But I just don't remember there being this much enthusiasm about basketball as there is this year.
Yeah, there's just so much energy around it. And yeah, I think playing those two big exhibitions helped a lot. I mean, obviously they dropped one, but I just think, you know, playing teams like that, teams with names you know, I think that helps kind of build some of that. And we talked a lot about that in the lead up, about how we like seeing that with college basketball. We like that college basketball enables that. We've talked about how with football they don't, and how that kind of causes some problems. But I mean, yeah, I think, you know, I think we'll learn a lot tonight. I think, you know, do we expect Jonas Adu to play?
I haven't heard one way or the other.
Right. I think they've kept all that really under wraps anyway. And so, you know, I don't know the extent of his injury. I don't know. Do we even know what the injury is? I don't think we do.
I don't know that we do. I think he's the one that was seen in a walking boot at one point in time during the summer.
Right. But hasn't been in one. He's not in one now.
And the walking boot has totally changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they put these things on guys now just for precautionary reasons. It's like, hey, just go get on a walking boot. Right. Go to the plane.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I think going into some of those exhibitions, I thought more guys would be held out than were. I thought more of the consequential guys were going to be limited. So that was good to see in their exhibitions that they were able to play more guys that we expect to see frequently this season. So, I mean, yeah, we'll see. Even if they're without Adu, I mean, I think you still, that's one guy. He's going to be a really key piece. Once he's able to play, I'm sure he'll be starting. And so it's key, but I also think this will give us an opportunity to learn a decent amount about this team early on, more so than the exhibitions.
Chuck Martin, who's an assistant coach for Arkansas, he said this of Adu yesterday. He said, he's getting better. We're taking it day by day. We're excited about the possibility of him returning soon. So, I mean, there's your answer. I mean, soon. Is that tonight? Is that Baylor?
Yeah.
Don't know when.
Yeah. It's like we're doing with some of these football injuries. It's like, well, he might be back after the bye. Who's to say?
Now, there's... Does the availability report, is it in place for basketball?
I actually don't know. I don't think so.
I would think it probably is.
I'm going to find out. We're going to live Google this.
Now, granted, it wouldn't apply to this game.
I guess you're right. Yeah,
anyway,
but I
want to
know
anyway. It's a non-conference game.
Yeah.
But I would love to see the availability report be instituted for every conference game. Not just, and not just football conference games, but... Hey, for baseball, hey, tell us if your pitcher is going to be out. Or...
It is on here on the SEC website for football, men's basketball, women's basketball, and baseball.
Yeah, so I like that.
But it's conference only, so yeah, it won't apply, obviously, now.
Yeah, so, I mean, we would know for this one. So we don't know what Jonas Adu's status is.
Right.
Hey, speaking of Chuck Martin, he spoke to reporters yesterday, played a couple of sound bites from him. The first one's going to be about this Lipscomb big man, or a big man, Jacob Ignacevic. He scored 30 points, had 10 rebounds the other night when they beat Duquesne. He missed all of last season, so Arkansas didn't see him play last year when they played Lipscomb down in North Little Rock. This is what Chuck Martin had to say about him.
You know, he's a heck of a player. He causes a lot of problems because of his ability to shoot the three. He can make threes in transition off pick and pops, but he's also a guy that shoots 60% from the field in a low post. So, you know, he can shoot it from the outside. He can shoot it from the low post. Not surprised that he had the night that he had, because he's a heck of a player.
So, I mean, that's going to be a matchup problem for this whole game. You know, Lipscomb is not, they're not Gonzaga. They're not UConn. They're not some of these non-conference teams that move the needle. But, I mean, I think anybody who's watched basketball over the years knows that those are some of the teams you have to worry about the most, because – and I'm sure that Arkansas coaches have spent the last week or so, really hammering it into their players, like, hey, look, there may not be a lot of name appeal for Lipscomb.
Right.
But this is a team that can play quality basketball.
Yeah, and they just beat a tournament team in Duquesne. I mean, that's something. So, I mean, yeah, this is not quite what the women's team had with Fairfield, where that's a really good program that did not lose and then, made the tournament and only lost to Indiana. And so this is not like that, but this also isn't, a total snoozer of an opener, I would say, which is good. I mean, this is the kind of thing you want to see if you've got to play, when you're going to have to play some of these non-conference games that are like this. This is more like what you want, I guess, to kind of be able to learn something, to play guys like that are notable, and to kind of help you learn when you have matchup problems like that. Like, what do you do? How do you handle them?
You know where Lipscomb is?
No.
You don't? Really?
I feel like I have known. Is it like Tennessee?
Yeah, you're getting there. Keep going.
So it's in that area. Is it in... I don't know.
It's in Nashville.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought Tennessee was wrong. I thought you were...
No, no, no.
I thought
Tennessee.
I had the wrong state.
No,
okay,
no, you're right state. Okay. It's in Nashville. Okay. And I only learned this because when I went to cover a game at Vanderbilt baseball a couple of years ago, I just get out and start driving around, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I'm on Lipscomb University. I had no idea. I knew Belmont was there. I didn't know Lipscomb was there. So you got Lipscomb and Vanderbilt and Belmont all kind of right there in the same general area.
Their enrollment is 4,018. That was 2011, so it's probably gone up. But
do you know what their mascot is?
I do, because we wrote about it, bisons, right?
The bisons. Yeah, bisons. The grammatically incorrect bisons. Yes. It's kind of like
Doesn't somebody else do that? Yeah, oh my God. Doesn't somebody else do that? Is it the Dakota or are they the bison? Which Dakota?
North Dakota State is the bison.
Okay, but they don't pronounce it. Harding University,
they might be the bisons.
I think they're bisons.
It's funny, though, in the Lipscomb game notes, it says, I think it's in their game notes where I saw this, it says, we are the bisons, not the bison like North Dakota State. It actually uses North Dakota State as a reference to tell people to, here's how you say it, and make sure you put the S on the end.
Harding is the bisons, plural.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Well, that's grammatically incorrect, too. They're right up there with the Elkins Elks.
Great company to keep.
Chuck Martin also was asked about Lipscomb and the type of basketball, the style of basketball they play. It's, you heard Dusty Hannes talk about it a minute ago. It's a Princeton-style offense, and it's very unique.
Coach Acuff has done an unbelievable job at Lipscomb, and he's we have tremendous amount of respect for him and his program, and I think that's the consensus around the country. When you play Lipscomb, you know you're going to play an efficient team, a team that's not going to beat itself. Unbelievable on offense, their ball movement, their player movement, their execution, their counters. They do an unbelievable job of reading the defense and then countering it. And Coach Cal is correct. A lot like the old Princeton offense. They're as good as anybody in the country in terms of running their offense.
I feel like this is a type of game, and Lipscomb has got the advantage because they played Duquesne on Monday night. It's the type of game that's going to really challenge you defensively, number one. It would challenge you defensively if you're playing this in 4 weeks. But right out of the gate, you play a team like that that has already had a game together, in a game that counts. And I know Arkansas players, they play together in a good competition. But it's a type of offense that's going to challenge you right out of the gate, and they've had a game together that counts. It's going to be interesting to see how Arkansas responds to this defensively. Calipari said he was pleased with how they responded or how they played defensively against Kansas. I would assume they were probably pleased with how they played defensively against TCU, given that TCU didn't shoot the ball particularly well. So this is going to be another challenge for that defense.
Yeah, and I mean, with TCU, they go cold at the end, and that's when it can't happen offensively.
338 without a basket.
Right, so that's kind of the reason you lose that game. But I just think, this will be interesting for the defense, I think. And I feel like the defense, at least for me, is something that I feel like I haven't heard talked about as much in the offseason with the lead up to Calipari. I just feel like so many people have been focusing on, and I think that's true a lot of times, is, offense in every sport is usually, more attractive to talk about, and so I think I'll be curious how this defense actually shapes up, especially because Musselman's teams were so, he was very defensively focused, and I'll be interested how these particular guys sort of gel defensively. And yeah, like you said, I think this is going to be a test for them in that sense. I think some of it, it's hard to know how much having played together sort of helps. It obviously doesn't hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But how much does that help a team like Lipscomb coming in here against a team with this level of talent?
In baseball, they never say wins football season.
That's true.
Because they're so good. Or they never say, hey, win or the outdoor track championships or anything like that.
Yes. I look forward to the outdoor. I guess I look more forward to the
I love track.
It's so fun. I got to cover it last year. I was like, anytime you need me to cover
and
track.
You had never covered track before
no,
that,
No, right? I'd photographed it, but I'd never written about it. And so, it was really fun. Yeah. Anytime you need me to do track, I'll do it.
I like covering a lot of sports that may not get a lot of people. I like covering golf.
Mm-hmm.
Golf is a lot of fun to cover. I don't think I'm that good at covering golf, but I like covering it. I actually think I'm okay covering track. Track is a lot of fun to cover. And, it's just like it keeps you on your toes for like 5 or 6 hours.
There's something going on at all times. Yeah,
something always going on. There's always, there's always races or events finishing, and you're going down and you're talking to athletes, and it's a lot of fun. And then you kind of have to figure out, like, okay, now, out of all the stuff I just saw, out of all these, personal best, meet best, NCAA records, this world best this year, even though it's like the second week of January, how do I compile all this?
Right. And what do I, what's the most important? Yeah. Because all of this is, you know, record setting, championship, all of this stuff. Like, what do you lead with? What's the top?
It is information overload at a track meet.
Yeah. There's always so much going on. And I ended up, I think last year I ended up just like writing all the results down because I was like, all of these are notable. Like, they're just winning everything.
What do you think the crowd will be like tonight?
I think it'll be really good. I mean, I think a lot of people want to see the first, you know, real game of the Calipari era. I think, you know, and I think people are excited to see these guys play. I think it'll be really good. I don't see any reason it wouldn't be. You know, we got the severe weather out of the way the other night. I know the women's crowd was really low because of that. But I don't see any reason why it won't be.
You heard Eric Musselman. Did you hear his comments the other day?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they won their season opener. I forget who they were playing.
I don't remember.
Chattanooga.
Yes, that's
Tennessee,
right.
Chattanooga.
That's right.
And so they beat them, and then, you know, he was asked about the crowd. I think they only had about 2,000 people there. And, you know, he said, hey, my first couple of games at Arkansas, there were, you know, the arena was half empty too.
Yeah.
And I actually went back and looked up the box scores. It says that there were 17,000 people his first game, but then I'm told that there really weren't. And it just kind of underscores there's a real frustration from my end, the inconsistency with which attendance is reported, you know, because there are some years, and I don't know how this is dictated. I don't know if it's by the AD. I don't know if it's by the communications, you know, the SID. But, you know, there are some years where it's like it's reported as actual attendance. There are some years where it's reported as tickets sold. And it never says on the box score. It just it always says attendance.
Yeah.
But it never says that this is attendance is based on this. Or it was, you know, sometimes it's on actual, sometimes it's on tickets sold. Sometimes it's a guesstimate. There were years here where it was so goofy, the box scores would say estimated actual attendance. Think about that for a minute. Think about how that contradicts itself.
That's so
estimated
funny.
Actual attendance.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And so for years, you know, you can't really compare attendances. Yeah. Anyway, you know, Musselman's point, I guess, is well taken that you've got to win in order for people to take your program seriously and want to be able to come out and watch it. I don't think Calipari is going to have that problem.
No, I don't either. The attendance thing is kind of funny. It's kind of like NIO, where like everybody reports different information and they do
the
it differently. And we never, really know how much there actually is.
You actually can get actual attendance because you can,
because they keep that. Like they record
that. You can put
that
in a freedom of information request and you can get the actual attendance. But I don't know. It's just kind of.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see, does more people show up for this game than showed up for the KU game, the exhibition game?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. How many people were at that?
Well, I mean, it was sold out, but the people who were there, and I wasn't able to be there, but the people who were there said that they guessed there were probably around 17,000 people in the building. That was on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday night is a tough ask, but...
Yeah, but 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock's not too bad.
7 o'clock is a sweet time for a tip-off.
Yeah.
I've always said this, 6 o'clock, you're not going to get as many people there because, you know, people don't want to fight the rush hour traffic. 8 o'clock, you're not going to get as many people there because they want to get home and they want to get to bed, especially on a weeknight. There's something about 7 o'clock that it's just, when I was growing up, it felt like every midweek basketball game, whether it be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, was always a 7 o'clock tip off. And because people knew that was the sweet spot. That was the time when you could get people there after work. That was the time where you could get people home and get them in bed, you know, at a decent hour.
Yeah.
And so, I'll be interested to see how this goes tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I expect a good crowd. I'll be curious. Yeah, I won't be there, but you'll have to tell me how it is and maybe take some pictures and some videos.
I'm not much of a picture taker, unless it involves my kids. Sorry. We'll have pictures. I'm sure others will have pictures for you. All right, we got a lot of football discussion to get to when we come back. The college football playoff first poll is out. We'll also talk a little bit about the Razorbacks and their bye week. But first, another word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kindle King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kindle King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends over at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Sam Pittman spoke with reporters this morning and as part of the SEC coaches teleconference, and really the big news out of this is that if Arkansas were to play a game this weekend, which they're not, Taylen Green and Jaquindon Jackson probably would not be able to play, Pittman said. Jackson obviously has been out the last couple of games with an ankle injury. Green injured his knee the other day against Ole Miss, and I thought it was I don't know where I thought they were with Taylen Green, but it certainly is. It makes your ears perk up when you hear the coach say that he may not be able to play this week if they had a game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't expect Green's injury to be that severe.
It felt a lot more precautionary when they took him out of the like they're just kind of reading the room. The game is out of hand, and maybe that's why they didn't play him the other day in the second half.
Definitely, yeah. And he didn't say much, you know, he didn't acknowledge much about it post-game when he was asked about it. And mm-hmm. he basically, but what he did say was he made it sound like it was precautionary. He made it sound like he, you know, Taylen wanted to go back in. You know, maybe we could have done it, but we didn't want to, we didn't want to risk it. It really sounded like it was precautionary. So, yeah, I mean, that does surprise me quite a bit. With Jaquindon Jackson, I guess I'm not as surprised mm-hmm. just because I feel like with that injury, with the Braxton injury, it just feels like that's just going to keep getting kicked down the road. You know, like it's just we won't know. But I am surprised to hear that Green, if they were to be playing this weekend, wouldn't go. Now, it didn't sound necessary. You know, he basically said after that it'll, you know, they'll know some more later this week about what it'll look like next week and how mm-hmm. much he can practice and if he can play. I imagine that'll be something that they will keep very close to the vest next week when we talk to them. I imagine they won't give us a clear answer. We're used to that at this point, but the availability report will be something to watch for sure.
You said they probably won't know more until Monday about Taylen Green and Jaquindon Jackson. He was not asked about Braylon Russell, wasn't asked about Jalen Braxton. So certainly, you know, those aren't the only two injuries that Arkansas is dealing with, but those are two, or probably the two biggest. When Arkansas lost to Ole Miss the other day, he mentioned something after the game that they might be tipping some things on defense, and that might be leading to some of the problems that they're having defensively right now. He was asked about that this morning on the teleconference, and this is what he had to say.
Well, I think that we found a couple things. Yes, Tom, we did. There was a lot of checks, not as much fastball as what we thought we might get from Ole Miss. So we certainly did find a few things that we need to correct and went back and did extensive study there and found a couple things that we need to get fixed.
So it's kind of interesting, you know, he said that basically saying they expected Ole Miss to go faster, and it looked like Ole Miss was making more checks at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. And something that's interesting about this, I was talking to Corey about this the other day. He brought up, you know, it seemed like last season the defense, you know, fell off in the last month, and it kind of seemed like, or at least I, you know, you might be able to correct me since I was covering a different team last season, but it seemed like that was kind of chalked up to it was kind of a lost season. The defense had been playing so well for so long, and basically they just kind of wore out, maybe kind of gave up a little bit. And that's not a good thing. But that kind of seemed like the reason for it. And it kind of seemed like, okay, well, maybe if they had more at stake, maybe if, you know, this was the season was still sort of alive, maybe it would be different. And then this season you have where they're still, you know, able to get to bowl eligibility. It's not the season hasn't gone well, but it's not a lost season. And yet they're still starting to show those signs of falling off late in the season. Mm-hmm. And Corey was wondering, he was like, it changes the way that I think about the season before, because it makes me wonder, was it actually just kind of giving up, or was it, is this a trend with Travis Williams defenses where we see other teams kind of start to figure it out? Are they tipping things and then not adjusting, failing to account for that? Is it a failure to adjust when teams start to figure out what it is that you're doing? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if that's what happened last year. I don't know if that's exactly what's happening now. I don't know. I'm sure, you know, you can't always point to one specific reason why things like this happen. But I do think that's something worth considering, and something that we'll need to see if they adjust to that. And Pittman kind of said when he spoke about it in that clip is, you know, it's kind of what he said after the game. It's kind of the same thing. It didn't sound like he didn't, you know, some of that is because he probably doesn't want to give all the details of what they've noticed, but It was basically the same thing he said. He had said post game that he thought that they had more checks, that they weren't going as fast. And so it doesn't sound, you know, that wasn't new. And as far as what they do about that, that's up to them. You know, that's their task for this bye week and going through the rest of the season is what they do, how they try to disguise things better.
I think last year their problem was stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn ran for 354 against Arkansas. Missouri ran for 258. Right now the problem is but your point's well taken. I think a lot of it comes down to a lack of depth. And I mentioned this the other day. I think back 2 or 3 years ago when Bumper Pool and Grant Morgan were playing, they put like 90 or 95% of the snaps, and toward the end of the year, both of them they were just breaking down. And so I think you might be seeing some of that with this defense again this year, and I think it might have been a contributing factor last season is that when you're late in the year, you're banged up, you're tired, it's just different than whenever it's September and you're going through this kind of stuff, and there's no in a lot of instances there's no comparable backup to you behind you. And so you stay on the field more, and I think that might be, you know, just kind of the players are beat up this time of year.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, I think I'm sure they love the fact that they've got a November bye game or bye week.
Yeah, I love having 2 bye weeks. And they'll have it again next year, so.
They will. And then the year after that, maybe not.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I've wondered, like, why not just, instead of having, like, some of the teams play on 0 week, why not just make that part of the college football season, and then you can bake an extra bye week into your season? Because the teams that are playing in 0 week, I think they get they get 3 bye weeks this year.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty certain that that's the case.
I think you're right.
It's all about when the season begins. So the season always begins Labor Day weekend. When that Saturday is relative to when the first Saturday of December is, because that's conference championship weekend. And every five or six years, you're going to have a year or maybe a couple of years where you've got an extra weekend in there. And so you get that extra bye week. So it feels like as you're asking college football players to play more games, give them an extra bye week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's unfair.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the playoff getting bigger, you know, those teams are going to be playing more games. It's just, it makes sense. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of concern, like player safety wise, as far as expanding the schedule. That's
I think you're going to see this in the NFL. I mean, they're talking about going to 18 games.
Yeah.
And eliminating the preseason. So I don't know when they would start the season, but I could easily see an instance maybe where, okay, you go to 18 games, maybe you get, I mean, do they add an extra bye week? Do they give, like, teams a second bye week as opposed to just one, like they've got on or they had on the 16-game schedule and 17-game? Anyway, the point being that it feels like college football could use an extra bye week. I don't know how we got to that point talking about that.
Defense tired.
There you go. We're chasing rabbits here on a Wednesday morning. Pittman was also asked about what's been the difference between his team in games where they have played well, like Tennessee, and games where they played bad, like Ole Miss the other day, and this is what he had to say.
Well, there's two common themes in the bad games, and one of them is that we're turning the football over, and we can't win doing that. I don't know that anybody can, but we certainly cannot. The other thing is that we haven't matched up well in the back end with their quarterback and their receivers. And so those are two common themes. Those two things, we should be able to control the turnovers of that. We did not in those games. And the other thing is that we did try several different coverages, into the double digits, into several different things in blitzing and coverage and quarters and halves and half and cover six, cover three, cover eight. And it just didn't work last week. So we've got to figure out what we can do, like we did against Tennessee. We had a game plan where we weren't going to get beat deep and we could handle the run. And we just didn't feel like that particular game plan would work against LSU and Ole Miss. And so we've got to find out how we can stop the run and the pass. But we can't let people behind us deep and have big plays. And that's what we have to eliminate. So we're going to work big time. But those are the two common threads that happened in the LSU and the Ole Miss game.
I mean, not a whole, you know, I mean, not a huge revelation there by him, but, you know, turnovers, when they've won games, they've won the turnover battle in most of those, or at least they didn't. You know, did Arkansas commit a turnover against Tennessee? I don't think they did.
I don't think so.
I don't think they did. And obviously, they won the turnover battle against Auburn and against Mississippi State. The second part of that, though, the fact that they're not matching up well in the back end, that's a concern, I feel like, when Texas comes to town next week.
It's a huge problem. I mean, and I even with, you know, some of that you can say, okay, if they had Jalen Braxton, but even that, I mean, that's one spot. I think this is bigger than that. I think this is a bigger issue than that. And, yeah, I mean, Texas is going to present a huge challenge. That is a tremendous passing offense. And Ole Miss is one of the best, you know, the most prolific that they'll face. But it's just when you didn't even compete, and when you just got burned repeatedly, and you knew coming into the game that chunk plays were a problem for you, they had been against Mississippi State, a team that isn't all that good. You know, their offense is better than their defense, but it's not great. When you saw chunk plays, especially, you know, including through the air, be a problem there, and some of that was yards after the catch, it was yards after contact, it was, you know, failure to tackle, you knew it was a problem. You knew it was going to be a problem against Ole Miss, and it didn't look any better. And yes, Ole Miss was much, much better than Mississippi State, but you knew what the issue was, and it wasn't even competitive is the problem.
You can read more from Pittman at our website, wholehogsports.com, a little bit later today, some more of his takeaways from the SEC coaches teleconference. I felt very good this morning on the teleconference. Kirby Smart, let me find the quote here. What did he say? He said, "Ole Miss is the best team in the SEC in regard to offense and defensive production, consistency, and efficiency." So Kirby's a reader of our website.
I love reading those efficiency ratings you do. I feel like I learn so much from them every week. I always, when you file them, I'm like, I'll read it.
I feel like it keeps me, it makes me understand what I'm watching a little bit better. I don't know if that makes any sense. There's something about seeing if, I hate total offense. I hate total defense. Those stats I feel like are almost totally meaningless. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about Arkansas. Even scoring averages, they bother me for a number of reasons. Think about Arkansas. They had 687 yards against UAPB. Does that really mean anything in a game that they're playing against a team their own size?
No.
They scored 70 points. That affects the points per game average. And so, you know, what I track is games against Power 4 teams instead of, you know, even games against Group of 5 teams, because I feel like there's a huge discrepancy between, you know, if you're playing somebody from the Sun Belt, and if you're playing somebody from the American, it's a different, you know, in a lot of cases, it's a different kind of team that you're seeing. But I've been standing on this soapbox for a few weeks now saying Ole Miss, I think, is the best team in the SEC. It's just a matter of they haven't finished games enough.
Yeah. Which is why it's so crazy that they lost to Kentucky. It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I mean, it's what we've talked about with the way this season has gone. Like, it's just, but your efficiency ratings have been really good predictors in general. What's the record again?
They're 22-3.
Yeah,
this
and
year
you
SEC
parlay
games.
You parlay the efficiency ratings into a score prediction for those games, and it's been really spot on, which is just so interesting. And it doesn't always get the score right, but it gets the result, because the score, you said, it's usually
just
it tends to be
gives
more
you
conservative
an idea of, yeah, it's more
so it doesn't factor in like defensive touchdowns, things like that, right?
Basically factors in how many possessions are you giving up and are you getting per game, and you kind of take an average of that, then you plug in what the ratings are, and you know, it's sometimes it misses really badly. You know, and I say this all the time, like South Carolina, they scored two defensive touchdowns against Oklahoma. Well, you can't predict a defensive touchdown. And that goes back to where I was talking about the what bothers me about points per game is that a lot of times baked into these points per game averages are defensive touchdowns and special teams touchdowns. not necessarily how good your offense is. And then on the flip side, defensively, you know, your special teams may be bad, but your defense may, you know, and then they've given up three punt return touchdowns, or maybe your quarterback throws a bunch of pick sixes, and it makes your defensive numbers, of course. So that's one of the reasons that I like this. By the way, I've got to correct something I said on Monday. Bobby Petrino had two home losses of 24 points or more. I failed to acknowledge that they lost to Florida by 31 in his first year in 2008. So two for Petrino, three for Houston in 10 seasons, and 15 in the last 12-plus seasons for Arkansas, 24-point losses or larger at home. Just really, really bad.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I'm not confident as far as, you know.
I mean, Texas may do the same thing.
That's the thing.
If Arkansas didn't have Taylen Green, and, you know, you get Texas, that if they're able to take advantage of this matchup in the secondary, it could be ugly.
I know. That's I don't think it's going to, I don't think it's going to look much better after that.
Because Singleton, he looked okay, but he was facing a lot of Ole Miss backups.
Yeah, he really was. And yeah, I think he's good. I don't think he's, you know, usurp Taylen Green good. You know, I think, you know, he got the job done against Tennessee. Awesome. But those first couple drives weren't good. It's not good.
All right. The votes are in. The ballots we've all been waiting for. College football playoff bracket announced last night. Number one through four, these teams would get a bye if the season were to end today. Oregon number one, Georgia two, Miami three, BYU four. That might surprise you a little bit, but keep in mind that it's the highest ranked conference champions. So BYU would get a bye. So basically, if you're in the Big 12 right now, you're probably going to get a bye in the first round of the playoffs. Whether or not you deserve it, that's just how the system works right now. And then the first round playoff games, this would be on campus in December. These would be the matchups right now. 12 Boise State at 5 Ohio State. That could be fun in Ohio in December. 9 Indiana at 8 Tennessee. 11 Alabama at number 6 Texas. And number 10 Notre Dame at number 7 Penn State.
Did you say 9 Indiana?
9 Indiana.
I have 8 Indiana.
9.
Okay.
Yeah, 9 at 8. Indiana at Tennessee is what it would be right now.
The one I'm looking at is incorrect.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't trust that sign again. SMU is the first team out right now. Rhett Lashley's team, number 13. Texas A&M, number 14. Ole Miss is number 16. But if Ole Miss can beat Georgia on Saturday, some of these teams are going to lose. There's going to be, I mean, Texas still has to play Texas A&M, for instance. There's going to be some movement there. You're going to have conference championships. Indiana's still going to have to play Ohio State or Oregon, potentially, in a Big Ten championship game. And so there's going to be movement here. You're going to have an SEC championship game that's going to cause movement. Ole Miss, it just feels like they're not going to Atlanta. And so if they can beat Georgia, I feel like their path to the playoff is clear.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. I think the one I'm most interested in is if BYU loses the Big 12 championship game to, like, an Iowa State, and Boise State wins out and wins their conference, I mean, Boise State gets the 4.
That would be interesting.
And the Big 12 doesn't get a first round bye, doesn't get it. Like, that's kind of crazy to think about.
I haven't looked at BYU. I would assume, do they still have to play Utah?
Yeah, they'll play Utah.
Utah's not having a great year.
They have Utah actually this weekend, and they have Kansas, Arizona State, and Houston after that.
Interesting.
So they could win. They could win out.
BYU's got a good team.
They really do. They've been fun, and then if they play, you know, Iowa State is second right now in the Thomas Stanley. Colorado also, they're both 4-1 in the Big 12. So it's just, you know, if BYU falls in the conference championship, that opens the door for Boise State if they win out. So it's interesting to see how it's shaken out. I like this format a lot.
I actually really do.
I'm worried about if the SEC and the Big Ten get what they're pushing for and get 4 auto bids. I worry about that.
Well, you're gonna have more teams though. In that case.
I know. I don't like it.
I mean, hey, where we're heading, we all know this. You're heading toward a 14 or a 16 team playoff.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time before they get there. That you're going to have one of those teams. Kind of interesting. Hunter Yurcheck is on the college football playoff committee this year. So this was the first batch of rankings that would have included his participation in the voting process. He has to recuse himself from SMU talk because he has a son on staff at SMU. And he has to recuse himself from South Carolina talk because he has a son on staff at South Carolina. He had a son on the football team at Arkansas, but the Razorbacks obviously not going to factored into the playoff talk this year. All right. We hope you join us at WholeHogSports.com throughout the rest of the day. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of basketball coverage tonight from Arkansas and Lipscomb, and we'll have another podcast tomorrow talking about that game. Also, we've got Chris Doering from SEC Network scheduled to be with us tomorrow to get his talk or his thoughts on playoffs, his thoughts on Arkansas, his thoughts on the SEC race, and a lot more. We appreciate you being with us, and we hope to see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.